Awesome. You are going to need your scripture here. We're going to need your eyes and your ears and your attentiveness. And I want to start off like this. Just one beautiful thing about following the Lord is that he moves. Anybody experienced a move of God in your life? And you praise him for it, and you're like, God, thank you for coming through. Thank you for doing this amazing thing. I had this revelation the other day. Man, God is actually so good that we can worship him on credit. You hear me? We don't have to say, God, you came through. Yes, we could actually thank God for what he's going to do in the future. And as I was thinking of this service, I was thinking, man, what if we were a people that just started praising God for what he is going to do in and through this service right now? Like, I don't know what you're going to do, but God, I thank you that you're going to come through. Yeah. I think Jesus is attracted to a place of faith because he can work in the environment of faith, right? He goes to his hometown and he's like, I can only do a few miracles because no one had faith, right? The prophet doesn't have honor in his hometown. So could we just make some noise for what God is going to do in this service? Like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're going to move in power. We believe that you're going to do what only you can do. Thank you for the work that you've done. But God, we are actually trusting you for the work that you're going to do. We actually charge it. Thank you for having a perfect credit score, unlike us. We trust your credit score. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, today is a significant day in the life of church. It's Pentecost Sunday, which is really the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, church. It's a moment in time when the Holy Spirit falls on people, and just like Jesus had promised, this was going to happen, and signs and wonders begin to take place. And I want you to get this, is that what happened and what started on that day happens on this day. Okay, John, what happened on that day, which you're like, I read the book of Acts that day, what happened in that day happens on this day. What if we raise the level of faith in this room that if what happened in the book of Acts is actually true, then we actually are a church that believes that that is going to continue to happen. Because guess what? The same spirit that was there that day is here this day. And it's crazy. Jesus shows up in flesh, and he actually tells us that is, it is better for us, it is to our advantage that he leaves. And when I read that, I'm like, prove it. Come back and let me decide, right? Like, I have a hard time believing that, but when I see what happens on Pentecost, I actually believe Jesus. Because when Jesus was there, what was Peter doing? He was hiding, he was doing all sorts of stuff, chopping people's ears off, he was being weird. And the Spirit falls on this guy, and he preaches one sermon and leads 3,000 people to Christ, right? What Jesus was to the 12 disciples, the Holy Spirit is to the church. So Jesus could be one place at one time, but guess what? The Holy Spirit can be wherever you are, wherever you. So we might want Jesus in the flesh, but it is to our advantage that the indwelling of the Spirit shows up and fills our lives, because Jesus is one person. But get this, when you are filled with the Spirit, so if every Christ-professing person was filled with the Spirit, that would mean that the Holy Spirit is actually hovering over this earth through 2.2 billion people who says Jesus is Lord. Isn't that good? So you're like, okay, I see what you're saying, Jesus. I guess it is better. I would like to hang out with you a little bit. But if that is true, that the Holy Spirit shows up in and through us, I don't know about you, but I want to be Spirit-filled. Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells inside of the church. That's a lot of power. He comes in power. And I've heard it said like this, and I think it's a good word for our church. The cross makes us clean, but Pentecost makes us powerful. Do I have that up there? Nope, I don't. Write that down. The cross makes us clean, but Pentecost makes us powerful. Powerful? You mean little old me? Yeah. I mean little old you. But what about my past? It's pretty jacked up. Yep. And I mean you. He wants to come in. What if I'm like the only Christian in my family? Yep, even more so. How much more does power show up when there's no power around you? But I grew up in like a church that's like very proper, and this is like the way you do things. Yep, even you. He wants to show up in power, and you haven't experienced it yet. One of the greatest tragedies is a Christian who has been made clean by the cross but doesn't live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a tragedy it is to be like, I'm raised to life. And it's like God doesn't just want to raise you. Now the Holy Spirit wants to fill you. Yeah. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? Yes. Acts chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. goes like this. Once when he, Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." If you've been getting wrapped up in conspiracy theories, trying to pinpoint when God is going to come back and set the world to rights, can I just say the scripture says we do not know? And if you come and you say, "I know," that I would say you're claiming to be God. No, you don't. Look at the scriptures. Okay? Not trying to step on any toes, but if there are some, I step right on them. So let me alter an alternative. Instead of figuring out when Jesus is coming back, let's just be a type of person who prepares ourselves for when he does come back. Yeah. And not just prepares ourselves, but actually brings as many people along with us as possible. Okay? Because one thing I do know is he is coming back. Okay. Verse 8. "But you will receive power." Everybody say power.
Power.
Power. The Greek word here is dunamis, which is this dynamite power. This explosion of power. "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." How many places?
Everywhere.
Some places? No, everywhere. "In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus tells them to wait, and that they're going to be baptized by the Spirit, and they're going to receive this power. And guess what? They're waiting and waiting and waiting. And they waited for 10 days. And guess what happens in chapter 2? Chapter 2, 1 through 4. "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm." Some of y'all might have some complaints on the sound up in here, and I would just say you can take it up with Jesus. He's known for sending windstorms. I think if this moment happened today, half of the American church would be like, "A little too loud for me, Jesus." Not my preference. I mean, it was a little wild, like some stuff was going on. Like, yeah, that's that church. I'm just gonna walk out the door if that's cool. But not for Legacy Church. We're here for the infilling. We're here for the infilling. And then it says this, "And it filled the house where they were sitting." Friends, before the Holy Spirit fills a person, he fills a room.
Yes.
Come on, parents. It is important to have a household that worships the Lord, right? We're gonna fill the atmosphere with the presence of God. That is why we value, and we will say, "Get to the house on Sundays, get to the house on Youth Wednesdays, get to the house on worship nights." Why? Because we just want to have a good time. No, we want to see the presence of God show up and start filling people. That's why we gather. God fills a room and he starts filling people. Okay, you can sit down here shortly. "Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was fit." How many people? "Filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. I want to start this morning after reading the scripture like this. The power that raised Jesus from the tomb made its way to the upper room. The power that raised Jesus from the tomb all of a sudden makes, that even rhymes a little bit, makes its way. If I was J.O., I would start rapping, but I'm not cool enough, But friends, the day of Pentecost is literally the reason that this church exists. Yes. People were given salvation in the purpose of Jesus, who conquered sin and death, and then the Holy Spirit comes and fills people who then have this like dynamite power inside of them. So I would claim this right out of the gate. We are Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-filled church.
Amen.
That's what we are. And maybe you're here today and the Holy Spirit has not been a part of your life up to this point. You know a little bit about him. And when you hear about the Holy Spirit, you kind of tense up and you kind of cringe. And you're like, "Dude, I saw a video on YouTube one time. And that was some crazy stuff," right? I've heard some stuff about what happens when people get filled with the Spirit. And I ain't about that, right? I'm just going to go to the Baptist church down the street. But friends, the Holy Spirit is not weird. We've said this before. Who's weird? People are weird, right? People are weird. And friends, this is unique. I've seen weird Catholics. I've seen weird Baptists. I've seen weird Mormons. I've seen weird people do weird stuff, even with the Bible. But just because a weird thing was done with the Bible doesn't mean like, "Oh, I saw it Harold did a really weird thing with this, so I'm just going to go ahead and toss it out. It's not good for me. Friends, don't discredit the Holy Spirit for being weird simply because a weird person did a weird thing with the Holy Spirit. I've heard of you drive weird. I've heard of some stories like, dude, you're swerving. I've seen some of you do this. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to drive anymore because David drives a little bit funky, right? I'm like, I'm throwing the car out, right? What a shame it would be to allow your skepticism to hold you back from power. You tracking, crew? What if the Holy Spirit isn't weird, but a few people have made the Holy Spirit weird, and the enemy has actually used that in your life to make you avoid the power of the presence of God that he wants to use in your life to turn people to him? Isn't that crazy? It's like the enemy goes, yep, that's very weird. I would veer away. And Jesus is like, that's actually my plan for you, though, is that you would be filled with power. I'm actually believing. I have enough faith to believe that we are going to experience a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit today for everyone, just like in Pentecost, everyone in this room. And if you're like, I don't want to, I don't think so, I'm a little skeptical, even you. I'm going to tell you about my story. I was there not long ago. And let me just say this, it won't be weird, but it'll certainly be supernatural. It's not going to be weird, but it's going to be powerful. It's not going to be weird, but God's going to show up, and you're going to see in color for maybe the first time. Oftentimes, around this time of year, churches start gearing up for Pentecost, and they will typically do a sermon series leading up to the Holy Spirit. They almost make the Holy Spirit a topic of discussion, like this is when we talk about when Jesus was born. This is when we talk about the Holy Spirit came, right? Friends, here at Legacy, we don't view the Holy Spirit as a topic to gain more information, but a person in which we encounter. So we believe note takers are world changers, but if you're here to just take a bunch of notes on the Holy Spirit, can I just say this is the only time I'm going to tell you to throw that puppy out of here and let's just encounter him instead of write down cool facts and one-liners that rhyme about him, right? Chances are you don't need more information. You need a fresh encounter. I heard recently about the downfall of the American church is this acronym, LIARS. The American church tends to be liars, which is low information to action ratio. The information in which we consume versus the action in which takes place. We have a whole lot of information and not a whole lot of experience. We tend to have a whole lot of content and not a whole lot of practice. But we're not here to just celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. We're here to live in it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to live in it. Let me give you a little bit of my church background. I came to know the Lord when my dad was freed from an alcohol addiction. That'll pique your interest. You're like, whoa, not only did I meet a sober father, I get to meet the living God. That's pretty crazy. Shortly after that, I was water baptized. Shortly after that, I was set into a journey of full-time ministry. I was raised to life. I was set free. Said farewell to this old crew that I used to roll with. I'm on this good path. But man, I was left feeling like something was missing. There was this disconnect, I should say, in my life that I couldn't make sense of. All throughout Bible college, even leading a ministry in Portland for the last 8 years. Actually, this just kind of came up this last year that things came to a head when I was looking around, knowing full well that God intended more for my life and for my church and for my family. Like I would read the book of Acts, and I would wonder, why in the world does my faith feel so stale and so stagnant and so predictable? I had this realization that I was trying to do God's work without God's power. I was raised to life, right? I was saved. I'm like, goodbye yesterday, you know? I was saved, but I was not living a life that was filled up and animated by the Spirit of God. And maybe you're here today walking into church and it feels more like a duty than an encounter. Like I'm just doing what mama told me back in the day, just going to church. I'm a Bible-believing church attending person. Can I just say, if you're feeling like there is more for your faith, more on offer for your life, here we go, write this down if you haven't thrown your journal away. There is more for you. There is more. If you've been following Jesus and it still feels like something is missing, I would be willing to bet it's because you need a fresh Pentecost. You need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit where he guides you and he directs you and he literally leads the life that you live. And hear me on this, family. We cannot do God's work without God's power. So if you're here and you're like, Like, they always say, if your life isn't working for you, like, put God in the proper place of your life. Like, I feel like I've put him in the proper place of my life, and I'm still lacking. Let me just say, it's the Holy Spirit in and through your life that you're missing. You may be lacking in your faith because you're doing all the right things without the animation of the helper and the advocate, the Holy Spirit. So as a church, we've been walking through the I am statements of Jesus before we just had some guests and whatnot. Anybody remember the I am statements of Jesus?
Yeah.
Like years and years ago? Okay, no. Glad to be back, by the way. There's this line that Jesus says in John 11. He says this, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. And it's in the context of Jesus raising his good friend Lazarus from the dead. And the crazy part is that Lazarus is raised from the dead, and there's instructions immediately after he is raised. Let me read it to you in verse 41. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. That's some good stuff right there. But get this. You might not have caught it, but Jesus is basically saying, Lazarus, I love that you're up. I love that you're walking, but you look really silly. Go take off your grave clothes now. You don't need those. Legacy Church, being raised from the dead is incredible, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, there's no greater miracle, but how ridiculous would it be to be raised from the dead and for Lazarus to go, no, I'm actually comfortable in these grave clothes. He's like, but I raised you. Yeah, oh, no, I'm living. But I'm in my grave clothes. Like, you know, this is a zombie or a mummy, right? I'm comfortable in my grave clothes. He, friends, Jesus didn't raise you to watch you walk around like a mummy. He raised you so that he could fill you with his power and animate and direct your life in such a way that leaves people with one explanation, and that is she is accessing a different power than I have. The explanation is that you've been filled with power, and it is otherworldly. It is beyond you. It is not weird, but it is definitely supernatural. Can I challenge you today? Make today the day you experience a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And seek after the same goal tomorrow. And then seek after the same goal on Tuesday. And then seek after the same goal on Wednesday. Let me put it this way. John 3:16 is incredible. Anybody have that memorized? Anybody got on their Instagram bio? Like, I'm Christian. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is like Jesus has come to redeem and rescue his people, and it's incredible. But friends, I think it's about time we start looking at Luke 3:16.
Right.
We're going to shift John 3:16 to Luke. John 3:16 is paramount, man. I'm going to anchor my life in that. I might put it in my Instagram bio after this. But I'm also going to put Luke 3:16, and it says this, John answered their question by saying, dude, I have come and I baptized you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and with fire. Let's go. He came to raise us from the dead, but he also came to fill us with his Spirit. Man, some of you guys know my brother in the faith over here, Ricky. You want to say what's up?
What's up?
Ricky, man, when I was in Bible college, he was in the youth ministry that I was a part of leading, and he was a high school student. We weren't that far in age, right? And I was there. I was there the day that he was professing faith in Christ. It's like, yeah, I could be there. Then I was there the day that he got water baptized. It was incredible. We actually, Ricky, you remember this? We like painted that big sign that said, raised to life. It was like probably one of the first, if not the only time we baptized somebody, you know, because we're like, 14 years old, you know, and we're like, we led him to the Lord, let's baptize him, make a big sign. Actually, the day before he got baptized, we literally almost watched him be with the Lord. We're painting this big sign, and he's eating a chicken wing, and an entire like chicken bone lodges up into him, and I'm running around like, help! I don't know what to do. He's like, help! And anyways, a buddy of mine does the Heimlich on him, and we were dead silent for like 10 minutes, and then we just laughed for hours. And we're like, how ironic would that be? Raised to life, almost. No. Almost. He almost made it there. But man, the devil's a liar. Ricky got baptized. He got raised to life. But I say all that to say this. I saw the evidence of his resurrection when I saw him years later when he had been filled with the Spirit. Yeah. So I knew what it was like when he was like, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I knew what it was like when he said, yes, I actually want to make this covenant union with him, and I want to die and I want to raise. But friends, it was a completely different experience when I saw him years later after he had been filled with the Spirit at a camp. And I'm like, Ricky, who is this? Like, when you meet Ricky today, you have no stinking clue who he was beforehand. Yeah, right? You think he was born that way. Like, he is truly animated and intoxicated by an influence outside of himself. And I can tell you, his personality is awesome, but it's not a personality thing. The Holy Spirit isn't like introverted and extroverted, right? He specializes in taking ordinary people and filling them with power beyond themselves. Yeah. And for some of us, our faith has been like a one-and-done thing, right? We came to the Lord, we had an experience, and we're good. We're just attending church to pay our dues and trying to stay better than the next guy so that we feel good about, like, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, right? But can I challenge you today? Don't just settle for being raised back to life. Step into the kind of life that never dies. Don't just be like, I've been raised to life, I'm good. No, there's so much more on offer for you. Yes. Step into a life that is continually being filled with the Spirit. Because you could be standing outside of the tomb and still be bound. Wow. Yes. Resurrection is just the beginning of freedom. Yes. If you're like, maybe I've been praying diligently that this service, a lot of lights would be turning on. And people would go, well, that's what I've been missing. You mean to tell me I've been discrediting that because these weirdos did some weird things and that's held me back from experiencing the power? Dude, if that's the beginning of freedom, I want to get in on the whole thing. What grave clothes are you still holding on to? If you're being honest. You're like, man, I've stripped most of them, but I have like this one piece right here, right? I got most of it, but my arm's like just chilling. I'm good with that. You know, what grave clothes do you need to strip off in order to be filled and truly live by the Spirit's leading? Maybe you've been doubting or limiting the Spirit's power in your life. Maybe you're holding on to the past. Maybe you're skeptical, so skeptical that Jesus, just like when he was in his hometown, he couldn't do anything. Or he could do a few miracles, you know, not many because everybody was just like, ah, that's just Jesus. That was like the first year mom joke, right? It's like, that's just Jesus. That, like, I know his mom. He's like, can I heal you? Your mom. You're like, what? Right? That just came into my mind, too. I don't know if that was the Spirit or what, but it was good. But make today the day that you strip off your grave clothes and truly live. And friends, I have this realization that Pentecost is Ezekiel 37 being fulfilled. This is good. If you don't know this, if you're new to church, it's this prophetic vision that Ezekiel received when a valley of dry bones are literally put back together. Like flesh and tendons, they're recovered. It's like this crazy scene. But the beautiful part about the passage, the thing that makes all the difference is breath. Yeah. Breath. And say that with me, breath. A body is not living if there is no breath. Look at this in Ezekiel, a couple different verses. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet in an exceedingly great army. The word breath in the Hebrew here is ruach. Try that, ruach, ruach, you know, ruach. But friends, here's the point here. A life without the Spirit of God is like a body without breath. A life without the Spirit of God is like a body without breath. You're as good as dead. A church can be filled with bodies, and there can be noise. Goodbye. There could be movement, right? Maybe some of you guys came with like the old Baptist sway, right? Even some music playing, but it is dead as a doornail without the Ruach of God. Yes. Some of y'all need to take a deep breath of the Spirit of God. Yes. There's nothing like a breath of fresh air, right? You finally get off that airplane. Oh, yes, right? There's nothing like breathing deeply of the Spirit of God. Pentecost is God breathing on his people once and for all. The Spirit doesn't just bring order to broken bones. He brings breath to the lifeless soul. If you're feeling like, dude, my soul feels lifeless, friends, come to the Holy Spirit and breathe deeply. My prayer has been that this moment in God's presence would be a breath of fresh air. Maybe today you're thinking, that's all great and all, but Nick, you don't understand who I am. I'm very type A. I'm a one on the Enneagram. No, I'm just kidding. I need you to break it down for me. Like, make it make sense. You know, maybe you've seen that. But make the Spirit's infilling really clear for me. Because, like, what actually happens in this moment? I'm going to put on my Pastor Tony hat. He would say, friends, you don't have to get it to get it. Get it? You don't have to get it to get it. Get it? And a lot of you type A people would be like, well, that's just you sweeping it under the rug and going, I don't know how to explain it. Literally, I don't know how to explain it. But friends, I don't know how to explain a lot of things that I trust in. Dude, I don't know how an airplane works, right? Some of y'all do because you fly them and whatnot. And I don't know how it works, right? This is weird. I don't even know how the sun works. It blows my mind. I'm like, the sun is in the sky. It puts me in a good mood. It gives me vitamin D, right? Right? Vitamin D? Okay. I remember that because of Sunny D. Yeah. You ever forget? Gives me a tan, right? But here's the thing that I want you to wrestle with. Am I being ignorant and irresponsible by reaping the benefits and also not fully understanding the ins and outs of an airplane or the sun? Right? You'd be like, you're just ignorant because you can't explain it. I don't know how an airplane works. I don't know how the sun works. I don't know how my car works, right? I don't get it, but I've experienced it to be true. There's also this moment, if you're like, okay, Nick, real cool way to explain this. Jesus actually explained it in a similar way, but he understood airplanes and the sun, but he put it in terms that we could understand. John chapter 3, Jesus replied, this is to Nicodemus, who's doubting, like, explain this to me. He's probably type A. I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. This is why there's so many dead churches filled with people void of the Spirit, right? So and it says this, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. And here's Jesus' explanation. The wind blows wherever it wants. Wow. So poetic. Wow. Just as you hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Wow. You don't need more information. You need an encounter. If you don't understand how a plane works, just hop on that puppy and you'll be like, I get it. I don't get it, but I get it. You get it, right? Some of us in this room have not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit because we're stubborn. And we need a full explanation and a tutorial and a breakdown of exactly what is happening and why. And Jesus comes to us and says, dude, you know the wind? Like that? Where did it come from? I don't know where it came from. I don't know where it's going. But it's obvious that it's there, right? I don't have to explain to you that it's there. Friends, don't reject the Spirit due to being so hard-headed, right? Amen. Humble yourselves in the presence of God. Say, maybe you know best. Fill me up. Amen. And the coolest part about the day of Pentecost is the aftermath. Shift gears here. The Holy Spirit turned scared disciples into world changers. This is going to get good. The Holy Spirit turned scared disciples. Anybody walk in a little, you don't have to raise your hand because you're probably too scared, but you walked in a little bit fearful, a little bit like, I don't really know what this is all going to be about. Well, guess what? The early disciples were actually similar. Look what happened before they were filled with the Spirit. Yeah. It's crazy. On the evening of that day of the week, the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of Jewish leaders. Man, before the Spirit, they were fearful. They were literally hiding. They're confused. They're scattered. They're powerless. And the Holy Spirit comes in Acts chapter 2, and you will see the aftermath is they're bold, they're preaching publicly, they're Spirit-led and confident, they're united and mission-focused, they're supernaturally empowered. God takes cowards and turns them into courageous carriers of his power and presence. Isn't that good news? Come on, family. Maybe you've been dialed back in your faith and you're walking around like the mummy, for sure alive, but no breath, for sure seeking the Lord, but feeling sleepy and lethargic and something's off. Today is the day to be filled. The Holy Spirit invaded the upper room, but he intended to invade every room. Did you know that? It's like, dude, it wasn't just like, oh, we get together on Pentecost Sunday and be like, remember that day? No, we get together on Pentecost to be like, we are in that day. That is the time in which we're living. So let me ask you, what rooms are you filling? Because where you are, there he is. For starters, your bedroom. Is your bedroom full of the Holy Spirit? Or you're like, no, that's when I like take the Holy Spirit hat off and I'm just, no. Fill that puppy. Fill that place. The Holy Spirit, your home, your classroom, the store, the coffee shop, friends, the places and spaces you reside are where the Holy Spirit intends to show up through you. You are now a carrier and a courier of the Holy Spirit. You know? You're like, what do you got? Not only do I got it, but I got some for you, right? I'm a mailman for the Holy Spirit. I've got it and I've give it, right? You have power and gifts that the world doesn't have. What a shame it would be to leave those gifts unused. What a shame it would be to be like, no, that's mine, right? Irma Bombeck would say it this way. When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent, a single bit of gifting left, and I could say I used everything you gave me. Every moment I had, every space I stepped in, every place I found myself in, I just poured it all out. Like, this is for the people in front of me. This is for you. This is to build the kingdom. Every gift, every opportunity, I leveraged it all. I received power, and then I poured that out, and I came back, and I got power, and I poured that out. Not always perfectly, but I gave it all because people are worth it, and it's the only logical response, right? Maybe you're here today, and you're saying, yes and amen. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Praise God. We're going to get you filled again, right? I'm so grateful you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but something I've come to find is that you need to keep on getting filled. In John chapter 20, the disciples, this is when they're in the upper room hiding because they didn't believe that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. And Jesus at this point, he's his resurrected self, and he's like Jesus unhinged. He just like walks through a wall. He's like, what up? I'm here. And they're, oh my goodness, right? They're freaking out. He's like, look at the holes in my side and all this stuff. And even Doubting Thomas goes, my Lord and my God. This is like their salvation moment. Like, holy smokes, he was right, right? And in that moment, Jesus does something very unique. Check this out. This is John chapter 20. As they're freaking out before Pentecost, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Then you look at earlier, Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem until you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Time out. This is where the American church would step in and go, well, theologically speaking, you've already given us your Spirit, Jesus. So technically, I don't need to wait for the Holy Spirit because I've already received the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to kindly reject your invitation, Jesus. And I'm going to show up to church probably with my hands in my pocket. And I'm going to be comfortable because I've just been raised from the dead, right? And that's how a lot of us sound. I had a moment with the Spirit, so I'm good to go. Yep. When Jesus told his followers to wait, you might notice they didn't explain it away. They weren't like, theologically speaking, like 120 of them said, I'm going to wait. Like, I'm going to take you at your word. So then in Acts chapter 2, they get baptized by the Holy Spirit. But then get this, in Acts chapter 4, they start getting persecuted, and the Spirit falls again. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter starts preaching again, and it says that everyone in the room was filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing the pattern here? Yes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, it's an initial moment, but it's also a constant infilling. We need to be filled up again and again and again and again. You know what I'm saying? We need to be filled up. Ephesians 5:18 gives us context for this. It says, don't be drunk with wine. Because why? That will ruin your life. Underline that. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice he compares alcohol and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Alcohol, what does it do? It animates you. Right? And not in a good way. The spirit-filled life is a spirit-animated life. And get this, just like being animated by alcohol, which will ruin your life, you need to be animated by the Holy Spirit again and again. It's not like you drink alcohol and you're like, I'm in a constant state of intoxication. Woo! You know, just because I ate once in my life doesn't mean I never have to eat again. Just because I'm filled with the Spirit doesn't mean I'm good to go. I need to be filled up again and again. Yeah, but man, in the 80s, I was so filled with the Spirit, bro. Right? I'm a holy roller, bro. You don't even know how hard the Holy Spirit fell back in that day. Can I just say, dude, you need more. You need more. The word be filled in the Greek literally means, in the Greek, be being filled. Be in a constant state of being filled. My daughter got like this new water, like playing in the water set. And you plug it into the hose and it just like continually runs. And it's like it's in a constant state of being filled, right? That's us. We're constantly being filled, constantly coming back to the well and being filled and dependent on the Holy Spirit's leading. That's how you walk in step with the Spirit, right? One step by another step by another step. Because why do we need to continually be filled with the Spirit? Because we leak. Yes. Tell your neighbor you sprung a leak. No, I'm just kidding. And friends, I'll be the first to say, I am the leakiest of them all. I am so leaky, bro. D.L. Moody would say it like this, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily because I leak. So if you're like, I'm offended by that, okay, well, D.L. Moody said it. So, friends, we are broken vessels, are we not?
Yes.
We're broken vessels, and we need to be refilled. When you get in a heated conversation with your spouse, haven't been in one yet, but if you do, listen, you leak a little bit, right? You're like, ugh. Someone cuts you off in traffic. You leak a lot, right? You're reading news headlines. You get leaky, right? Jeff's getting uncomfortable with this one. This world has a way of draining us of the Spirit, does it not? That's why we need a fresh outpouring, right? You need to get in His presence, and you need to be filled. Whether it's your first time or the 100th or the 1,000th time, you need the infilling. And today, let's just imagine in our mind's eye, close your eyes if you need to, you're driving, and all of a sudden, the oil light on your dashboard is flashing. Man, you are due for a fill-up, a fresh infilling of oil of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you can open your eyes, because you're going to need to read this in Psalm 92. Ooh, this is good. I have been anointed with what type of oil?
Fresh.
I've been fresh fire. Oh, that's a banger. That's so good. I don't know about you, but I want fresh oil. I want fresh fire. I want a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. I don't want to recite times of old only. Back in my day, boy, woo-hoo! I want to speak of today's encounters. Not of just how He moved in the past, of course how He moved in the past. But He wants more for you now. The difference maker in your life is not going to be like, okay, then I'm going to try to be like really spiritual, like Spirit-filled, like I'm going to start speaking in tongues and stuff. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to show people like how spiritual I am. It's not about being louder. Like I'm going to sit in the front row and be like, good boy, you know, like I'm going to just be filled with the Spirit, right? You don't need to muster this up. You just need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Usually happens in the secret place. Let me tell you a little bit about the anointing. Anointing took 5 ordinary stones and made them lethal weapons in the hand of David. Little old me. Yeah. These little 5 rocks. You know, that's what the anointing will do. Anointing took an ordinary trumpet and made it a weapon of war in the mouth of Joshua. That's what the anointing will do for you. Anointing took an ordinary staff and made it a supernatural sign and wonder in the hands of Moses. Anointing is the partnership of God to man that results in supernatural power being made manifest in and through your natural life. What do you have in your hands that God wants to use? What does God put in your path that He would like to use? The Holy Spirit has all sorts of symbols, like a dove. I'm like a bird, I want to fly. A flame, a wind, a lamp, a cloud, a river, new wine. But one of my favorites is the anointing. Friends, be anointed with the Holy Spirit today. Literally, you can be anointed with the Holy Spirit. I want to wrap up with a brief part of my story. Last year, I was at a MFI conference, Ministry Fellowship International, that's right. And I have no other way to explain it other than I was overcome by the Holy Spirit. I would say for me it was like a baptism. That's how I'd explain it. I'm just totally immersed, and I came out the other side like, whoa, I see different, right? I hear things. I have words for people. What in the world? This is weird. I've never experienced such a thing. And I got a prophetic word from a guy that day. It was a dude I'd never had met. He was like playing drums. I'm like, oh, that guy's kind of cool. He comes down and he's like, actually, the Lord gave me something that I have to communicate to you. And he wasn't saying, thus saith the Lord, but he's like, hey, let me throw it out there. If this means anything to you, great. If not, then so be it, right? But he said this. He explained to me, you are about to be in a season of transition in your life. Little did I know, like a week later, I was moving here to Legacy. So he was pretty accurate in that. And he went on to say that God is going to send me to a place, and the image he got is that there's going to be a bunch of wild animals that are caged up. A place where people are being held back from living in their natural habitat. And he says this word. He says, Nick, God has given you a key to release these animals to live how they were created to live. I went to the zoo that day. No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding. Sorry, that was a really good moment. I should have kept it serious. But here's the thing, friends. Maybe you're feeling that way, where you're like, oh, this has been my church experience, and I feel good in that. Friends, I know what it's like to be alive and still be caged up. And it ain't right, right? I know what it's like to go through the motions thinking that the cage is all that is on offer for me. If you are feeling that there is more, let me just say there is more for you, and today could be the day. Make today the stinking day, please. Get out of the cage of religion. Get out of the cage of mediocrity. Get out of the cage that is so familiar and predictable and comfortable. There is more for you today. Anybody seen like an old school infomercial? Today we got the scrub daddy, right? And what happens at the end of every infomercial? You're like, okay, let's get over with this. Well, wait, there's more. You're like, oh, more of this guy? Come on. If you order now, you're going to get a whole other set. You're going to get the scrub mommy, which is a thing. I didn't know that. You're going to get scrub daddy. You're going to get the scrub mommy. But wait, it just keeps going. There's more. If you order within the next 24 hours, you get free shipping. You know what I'm saying? The scripture says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you go, Lord, I'm calling on your name. I need you. Please come in. Guess what? You're saved. In that moment, if you call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. But wait, there's more. Be publicly baptized into Christ as a vow, as a public declaration, as an acknowledgement of dying to your old way and raising to your new way. But wait, there's more. I don't just raise you from the dead. I actually want to fill you with my spirit. And it's beautiful. Sometimes this happens all at once. Somebody's like, dude, Lord, I want, and it's baptism Sunday. And whoa, oh, you know. But sometimes it's different. It's like, this is when I received salvation. This is when I was baptized in water. And this is when I was baptized in the spirit. And friends, we want everything that God has for you. If you're thinking there's got to be more, there is. There's way more. And actually, this is crazy. Jesus would even say it this way in John 14:10. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. He did some pretty gnarly stuff, wouldn't you agree? And even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit actually, man, we should be literally Christ's walking around doing the signs and wonders that he was capable of doing. You know what the valley would look like if this started to become true of our church? And some of you are like, if it started to be true, that's been my experience so far. And I would say, even more so, even more so. The Holy Spirit has way more in store for you. Okay, so how do I receive the Holy Spirit? I'm so glad you asked. He gives it to those who ask. Yes. If you want the Holy Spirit, you make yourself an empty vessel. And you literally make yourself available for him to come and fill you. Luke 11 would put it this way. You fathers, any fathers in the house? Yeah. Hey, men, Father's Day, you fathers out there, is this Sunday? I know you guys like to go camping. We have this tradition. We go out and do this thing. We don't do church. Dude, lead. The best thing that you can do for your family is lead them in the ways of the Lord. Be here. Be in the house. Shameless plug. You fathers, see you on Sunday. If your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people, ouch, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All right, I want the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into my life. I want to experience you in power. When you ask, he gives generously. And then we just simply receive. Okay, Nick, so I want the Holy Spirit to fill me, right? But then what happens when I receive the Holy Spirit? Like, is all of a sudden the Holy Spirit going to reach up and, like, tickle my tongue, and I'm going to be like in a trance or something? What, like, literally, what is going to happen? Well, there are 7 descriptions in Scripture that describe what it's like when the Spirit shows up in someone's life. And here they are, actually. And some people say, I was baptized in the Spirit. Some were filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God fell on people. The Spirit of God arrived or came upon people. The Spirit of God rested on people. People received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was poured out on people. 7 different descriptions, but it was all the same experience. What's up with that? Well, if it was the same experience, why are we explaining it differently? Well, what is it going to look like for me, you might be asking. Let me say this. We can all experience the same thing and have a different way of describing it. Can you all agree with that?
Yes.
If we all, man, I poured you all the same cup of coffee. Some of you have developed palates, right? Right? And you would drink it and you'd go, dang, that cup of coffee is good. Some of you would go, wow, there's like cherry and chocolate and like, is that Keurig? No, I'm just kidding. You'd be like, no. Is that the plastic from the, no. Some of you would be like, ooh, I think those beans are like from Ethiopia or something crazy. Some of you would be like, I don't know what the heck that is, but I need it to live. That's all I know, right? I don't have a palate, but I do need me some caffeine, right? Same experience, different descriptions, right?
Yes.
I want to back up for a quick moment. This is how I'll conclude, for real. The scripture tells us that Jesus showed himself to about 500 people after he was raised from the dead. And this means somewhere around 500 people were given the invite. Like, the Spirit's going to come. Hey, come to the upper room. He's going to fall. He's going to come. It's going to happen. And you know what? Only 120 people showed up. And you know what I know to be true is not everyone who hears the invitation will show up for the outpouring. Don't miss out. This is my warning. Don't miss out on the outpouring simply because you aren't available to him. Like, here, try this coffee. What do you think? No. Weird people drink coffee. No, the Spirit's for weird people. Right? 500 people are witnesses to the resurrection, but less than a quarter of the people put themselves in the position to receive. And I think that is going to mark Legacy Church. And here's what's going to mark us, that we are a church that comes through. Right? And this isn't a call out on church attendance, but maybe it is. We are a church that pulls up. Right? We are a church available. This morning, we're going to respond simply by making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You don't have to wait 10 days and say, come on, the Holy Spirit, fall on me. Let's go. You get to actually experience that right now. So would you actually stand to your feet? Earlier, Pastor Paula did a beautiful job of just kind of saying, like, dude, be made available. I'm going to give you another opportunity here. You don't need to come forward, but if you're like, now that we've worshiped, Nick, now that I've heard you out, I'm feeling a little bit caged up. If go ahead and bow your heads, and I want you, if this is your first time where you're like, I literally don't think I've ever been filled with the Spirit, I think there's something beautiful about physically responding. I'm going to ask you to throw your hand in the air like, I don't think I've been filled with the Spirit, but I'd really like to today. I'd really like the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Would you just raise your hand at this moment? Beautiful, beautiful. So many hands. Incredible. And with that, keep your hand in the air. If you're in this room and you're like, I have been filled with the Spirit, but I'm just desperate, Spirit, come and fill me again. I want a fresh outpouring of what happened at Pentecost. If that is you, throw your hand in the air. And I think it's beautiful that we can respond physically. And we're just going to offer this. What you're doing if you're raising your hand is you're saying that I'm an empty vessel and I want to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm believing that signs and wonders are going to happen because of it. Not because of my power, but because of yours, oh Jesus. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would fall all over this room. God, we are made available to what you might have for our lives. Some of us have come in caged up, and Holy Spirit, we are grateful that you have come to set us free. You have come to loosen our tongues. You have come to give us a path to follow. You have come to actually give us authority in places where we should never have authority. But God, we receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And just like on Pentecost, we just ask that we would experience that same infilling. And the thing that marks us as individuals and marks us as a church is that we have power. And it's not just to say, wow, look how powerful Legacy is, but it's just to witness to the world. I pray that when people taste and see that you are good, that they would come flooding into this place, not because of the charisma here, but because of your Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, come and fill us. God, we know that what you started in the upper room, you want to use to invade every room. So here we are. Fill us with your power, Jesus. Fill us now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and it's in Jesus' name that we receive your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Here's how we're going to respond. Yeah, can we just give the Lord a shout of praise? And I pray that that moment would actually be something that marks you. You'd be like, man, it was actually the Sunday before Father's Day, the Spirit fell on me. I've never been the same. None of this would be made possible without the bloodstained cross, right? Jesus made a way, and then he fills us with his Spirit. So we're going to take communion as a family, and this is also just a time for you to reflect. If you need to just say, okay, Spirit, you filled me. Now what's next? What needs to happen from here? You can reflect. You can take communion, and then I'm going to come up and dismiss you here shortly. But please take communion when you're ready and spend some time reflecting. There's also prayer people on either side of the room, and we're going to have prayer afterwards. Love you guys.